Our opening passage is going to be in Isaiah chapter 54. That's Isaiah chapter 54, and we'll start in verse 4. It says, "Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be confounded, for you shall not be put to shame, for you shall forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood shall you remember no more." Now, every time you see the term shame or being ashamed, Yahweh is indicating that there's a reason for these people to be ashamed because of the Baal worship, because of the pagan worship that they were involved in. Verse 5, it says, "For your maker is your husband. Yahweh of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. And this is the time of year, the first month, that the Jews call the month of redemption because of being brought out of Egypt. The Elohim of the whole earth shall be called, shall he be called." Now, if Yahweh is the mighty one of the whole earth, then why is it we have so many different religions, so many different people going hither and yon and worshiping this mighty one and that mighty one? Because they have not been taught. They haven't been raised to understand who Yahweh truly is, the mighty one of Israel. Verse 6, "For Yahweh has called you a wife forsaken, grieved in spirit, even a wife of youth. When she is cast off, says your Elohim, for a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. In overflowing wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting loving kindness will I have mercy on you, says Yahweh your Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my loving kindness shall not depart from you. Neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, says Yahweh, that has mercy on you." Yahweh truly loves Israel and Judah. He loves his people. Isaiah was a prophet to the kings of Judah, okay? He also, his word, you know, He prophesied during the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, Hezekiah was one of the greatest kings of Judah because of his faithfulness and his righteousness. Verse 11 of Isaiah 54. "Oh, you afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Behold, I will set your stones in fair colors and lay your foundations with sapphire. And I will make your pinnacles of rubies and your gates of carbuncles and all your border of precious stones. And all your children shall be taught of Yahweh, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness shall you be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear and from terror. For it shall not come near you. Behold, they may gather together, but not by me. Whoever shall gather together against you shall fall because of you." So Yahweh is telling us that if we're faithful, whoever becomes our enemy and whoever is coming against us will fall because of us. He's going to protect us. "Behold, I have created the smith that blows the fire of coals and brings forth a weapon for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, and their righteousness, which is of me, says Yahweh." So if we're faithful, in doing what Yahweh commands us to do, which is to keep his covenant and not go after the Baalim or, you know, the pagan mighty ones in this world, because we know that they are nothing but idols. It's nothing to them. They have no power. They can't give us salvation. Only Yahweh can give us salvation. Isaiah 41, and we'll start in verse 1. Keep silent before me, O island, and let the peoples renew their strength. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who has raised up one from the east, whom he calls in righteousness to his foot? He gives nations before him and makes him rule over kings. He gives them as the dust to his sword, as the driven stubble to his bow. He pursues them and passes on safely, even by a way that he has not gone with his feet. Who has worked and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yahweh, the first, and with the last, I am he. The isles have seen and fear. The ends of the earth tremble. They draw near and come. They help everyone his neighbor, and everyone says to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encourages the goldsmith, and he that smooths with the hammer, him that strikes the anvil, saying of the solder, it is good, and he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. And we know that's what they did with the Christmas tree. They nailed it down so it couldn't go anywhere, and that's what they do with the other idols. You know, it can't move. It's just there. It has no power. Verse 8, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. And Abraham was called the friend of Yahweh back in Genesis 15:6. You whom I have taken hold of from the ends of the earth and called from the corners of it and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all that are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. They that quarrel with you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with you. They that war against you shall be as nothing and as a thing of nothing. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not. I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says Yahweh, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Yahweh is our Redeemer, brethren. We have nothing to fear. All we have to do is be faithful and keep his covenant. Verse 15, behold, I have made you to be a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. You shall thresh the mountain. We know a mountain is a government. And beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away. And the whirlwind shall scatter them, and you shall rejoice in Yahweh. You shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue fails for thirst. I, Yahweh, will answer them. I, the Elohim of Israel, will not forsake them. When is this that they seek water, and there is none? It's going to be a famine. It's going to be during a time of drought, like the tribulation in the 3.5 years. like it was during the days of Eliah when he withheld the rain. There was no water. And that's why Ahab and them were so upset, because he said that Eliah was the troubler of Israel, but it wasn't Eliah. It was them and their Baal worship, them who forsook Yahweh. But we saw the other day, yesterday, that Ahab didn't repent, but the rest of his house was destroyed. It says, I, Yahweh, will answer. The Elohim of Israel will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the middle of the valley. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will put in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of Yahweh has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. John chapter 15. Yahweh is going to do a mighty work in this earth. John 15. I'm going to start in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he cleans. He cleanses it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it remain in the vine, so neither can you, except you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that remains in me, and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man remain not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done to you. And this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. And we are the disciples of Yahshua the Messiah, because we are following in his footsteps. We love his teaching, and we love the brethren. Even in verse 9, as your Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall remain in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do the things which I command you. And that's what Yahshua wants us to do, follow and keep his commandments. But he also wants us to love one another, because without that love, we cannot say that we are his disciples. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servant, for the servant knows not what his master does, but I have called you friend, like he called Abraham. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. So that's what Yahshua wants us to do. Go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you may love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And we want that word to be perpetuated. We want that word to be kept. So therefore, we have to go forth and teach Yahweh's word. Matthew 21, 43 to 46. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh shall be taken away from you and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits of it. So he's looking for those who are bringing forth fruit. And he that falls on this stone shall be broken to pieces, but on whomever it shall fall, it will scatter him as dust. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this, his parable, they perceived that he spoke of them. And when they sought to lay hold on him, because they were upset, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. And truly, Yahshua was. Matthew 11, verse 25 to 30. See, Yahweh's word should have free course in us. It shouldn't cause us to be angry or want to turn and hate someone or kill someone. See, that shows that the Pharisees were following faith. They were the tares. They were planted, not for Yahweh's glory, but for their own. That's why Yahshua said, they sit in Moses' seat, do as they say, not as they do, because they're a hypocrite. Many of the Pharisees repented and turned to Yahshua. But for the most part, the majority of the leaders, the government, when I say the government, I'm speaking of spiritual government of Israel, did not. Matthew 11, 25, it says, at that season, Yahshua answered and said, I thank you, O Father, sovereign of heaven and earth, that you did hide these things from the wise and understanding and did reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for it was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been delivered to me of my Father, and no one knows the Son save the Father. Neither does any know the Father save the Son, and he to whomever the Son wills to reveal him. So we don't know Yahweh unless Yahshua reveals him to us. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. But see, Satan's is just the opposite. His yoke is hard, and his burden is heavy. Jacob chapter 2. We'll start in verse 14. Jacob 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has no work? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things necessary to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead in itself. Yes, a man will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that Elohim is one. You do well. The demons believe also and tremble, but they don't obey. But will you know, obeying man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? And that he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? You see that faith worked with his work, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said that Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of Yahweh. And you see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. And in like manner, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, and that she received the messenger and sent them out another way? Whereas the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. Psalm 55, verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden upon Yahweh, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 94. Verse 1, it says, O Yahweh, you El to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Lift up yourself, you judge of the earth. Render to the proud their deserts. Yahweh, how long shall the wicked triumph? They prate, they speak arrogantly. All the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Yahweh, and afflict your heritage. What did we see about the heritage of Yahweh back in Isaiah? Isaiah 54 says, I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of Yahweh. Now that's 58. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, and their righteousness, which is of me, says Yahweh. That's Isaiah 54, 17, second part, B. And afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner and murder the father. In other words, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing with their third time. They don't keep it. See? Because the widow, the sojourner, and the fatherless are all taken care of with the third time, the third and the sixth year. And they say, Yah will not see, neither will the Elohim of Jacob consider. Consider you brutish among the people, and you fools. When will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastises the nation, shall not he correct? Even he that teaches man knowledge. Yahweh knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. And you think about your thoughts and what you think of most of the time. We're supposed to be continually thinking on the law of Yahweh. But most of the time, we're thinking about a bill, a next meal, our children. You know, we're thinking about things that, you know, we might have some control over, but for the most part, we need to just cast those burdens to Yahweh. We need to just let Yahweh have them and not worry about them. See, because if we're faithful and doing what we're supposed to do, Yahweh is going to bless us. He's going to keep us where he wants us. Verse 12, it says, blessed is the man whom you correct, O Yahweh, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For Yahweh will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. And we are his inheritance, brethren. For judgment shall return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? That's the question Yahweh is posing to you today. We should all be able to answer that and say, I will, I will, I will. Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Verse 18. Behold, the eye of Yahweh is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul has waited for Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. Our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Yahweh, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you. Are we going to worry about where our food is going to come from during the tribulation? No. Because we're not going to take the mark of the beast. We're going to trust Yahweh to provide for us. We're going to trust Yahweh to be there for us, for our every need. It says in verse 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. We know the famine is coming because right now there's a famine of hearing the word. But we're not starving as far as the word of Yahweh is concerned. We're being fed because that's why YPTC was started, so that we would feed Yahweh's sheep. That's the goal, to feed Yahweh's sheep. Psalm 17, verse 6. Psalm 17, verse 6. I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O El. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness, O you who saves by your right hand them that take refuge in you. For those that rise up against them, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked that oppresses me, my deadly enemy that compass me about. We don't have to worry about it, because Yahweh is going to deliver us. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us down to the earth. He is like a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Yahweh, confront him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Yahweh, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. They don't have a portion in that life to come. They don't have eternal life. Their life is limited. Continuing on, it says, and whose belly you fill with your treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with beholding your form. Which means that you're going to see Yahweh. That's what Job said. Job 42. Job 42, verse 1, it says, then Job answered Yahweh and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be restrained. We can't stop what Yahweh has put in motion. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that which I understand not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I plead you, and I will speak. I will demand of you and declare you to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Yahweh, who shall sojourn in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He that slanders not with his tongue, nor does evil to his friend, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes the reprobate is despised, but who honors them that fear Yahweh. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not, he that puts not out his money to interest, nor takes reward against the innocent, he that does these things shall never be moved. Brethren, we hope, we pray that Yahweh has chosen us to never be moved. Zechariah 7, verse 8 to 14. And the word of Yahweh came to Zechariah. Zechariah means remembered of Yahweh, saying, in this manner has Yahweh hath spoken, saying, execute true judgment and show kindness and compassion every man to his brother. Now, compassion is love. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the sojourner, nor the poor. Back to the third time. And let none of you advise evil against his brother in your heart. Leviticus 19. See, there's a passage that talks about the sabbatical year and your brother having a need coming before you, asking for, say, a loan or money. And you're not supposed to have a wicked heart saying, well, the sabbatical year is about to start. If I give him this money and he doesn't pay it back, I have to forgive it. See, our heart should be such that that's not an issue. See? We're not going to have the wicked thought. We're going to show love one to another. In verse 11 it says, but they refused to listen and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. Yes, they made their hearts an adamant stone lest they should hear the law and the words which Yahweh's host had sent by his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore there came great wrath from Yahweh of hosts because they did not yield or listen or hear. They went after the pagan mighty one. And it is come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they shall cry and I will not hear, says Yahweh of hosts. But I will scatter them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they have not known in this manner. The land was desolate after them, so that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. The Yahweh knows who are his. And like I said, they can use Yahweh's name and still be in false doctrine. They can use Yahweh's name and still, because they have no love, be not Yahweh's people. When we look in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where it talks about the seven assemblies, only one of those assemblies is perfect or receiving the blessing. So the other ones are exhorted, okay? So I believe that each one of those assemblies still use the name Yahweh. You understand? Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. You'll be able to spot them because of their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, But the corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Not every one that says to me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Master, Master, did we not prophesy by your name, and by your name cast out demons, and by your name do many mighty works? So they are using the name of Yahweh. And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work lawlessly. I was talking to Willie earlier today, and they had heard from somebody from our former affiliation, and was pretty glad to hear from them. And that was wonderful, you know, and they praise Yahweh for it. But, you know, as things get a little bit tougher, we're going to find more and more people seeking the truth, more and more people seeking Yahweh, Philadelphia truth, because they're finding out that that other organization was built up and propped up by one man, okay? And they're trying to still perpetuate and teach the people with his CDs and things of that nature. And, you know, a lot of the brethren there are getting a little worried because they're saying there's no new insight. You know, everything is old, or, you know, just whatever, you know, he was able to do. And I'm not saying that, you know, the word of Yahweh has limits, because even you can listen to a CD or a tape, you know, down the road years after it was preached and still gain the knowledge from it. But we're talking about now, after he has passed on. Talk about new insight. Turn to Isaiah chapter 17. Isaiah chapter 17, and we'll start in verse 4. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day. Every time you see in that day, it's a time stamp. It's giving you a specific time. That the glory of Jacob, and you know Jacob is another euphemism for Israel, because his name was changed to Israel, shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall grow lean. And it shall be as when the harvestman gathers the standing grain, and his arm reaps the ears. Yes, it shall be as when one gleans ears in the valley of Rephaim, and there shall be left in its gleaning, as the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the topmost branches of a fruitful tree, says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. In that day shall men look to their Maker, and their eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And they shall not look to the altar, the work of their hands, neither shall they have respect to that which their fingers have made. Because they make these idols. Either the Asherim or the sun images. And you know, I can show you and take you back to the two Babylons and some of the other books that show you the sun images and the crosses that were being worn a couple thousand years before the Messiah's advent. The cross is a pagan symbol and still is to this day. Verse 9, it says, in that day shall their strong cities be as the forsaken places in the wood and on the mountaintop, which were forsaken from before the children of Israel, and it shall be a desolation. For you have forgotten the Elohim of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your strength. Therefore you plant pleasant plants and set it with strange slips. in the day, in that day, in the day of your planting, you hedge it in. And in the morning, you make your seed to blossom. But the harvest flees away in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. There's going to be a lot of sorrow to those that are worshiping the pagan mighty one, even those that are worshiping Yahweh in idolatry. When I say Yahweh, I'm saying using his name like they did in Israel. They still use the name Yahweh in the 10 northern tribes, in Bethel and Dan. Yes, they did. Even when they came out of Egypt, did they say, after they made, Aaron made the golden calf, here is your Elohim, your mighty one, that brought you out of Egypt? And it was not. It was a figment of their imagination. This was something they made up. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 9. Therefore is justice far from us, neither does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but behold darkness; for brightness, but we walk in obscurity. We grope for the wall like the blind. Yes, we grope as they that have no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the twilight. Among them that are lusty, we are as dead men. We roar all like bears and moan severely like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Transgressing and denying Yahweh, and turning away from following our Elohim, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And justice is turned away backward, and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. Satan knows he has but a short time, so he's going to try to devour and destroy. And Yahweh saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm, and we know the arm of Yahweh and Joshua, brought salvation to him, and his righteousness, it upheld him, and he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a mantle, according to their deeds. Accordingly, he will repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come as a rushing stream, which the breath of Yahweh drives. And a redeemer will come to Zion, and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob. Those that turn from their sin in Israel, says Yahweh. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh, my spirit that is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, says Yahweh, from now on and forever. Remember what I said yesterday about the blessing, about our children and our grandchildren, and all of these children that have come through. I mean, I've been in the faith for over 30 years, and I'm telling you, I've seen thousands of kids come through the AOY and the Sacred Name Movement. And these kids have been raised knowing Yahweh's name. Now, they have kids themselves. We have that third generation, okay, since I've been in the faith. That third generation that is, you know, these people have to teach their kids something. Now, some have gone back into idolatry and the paganism and worshiping God and, you know, the Lord and stuff like that. But most of them still have some sort of familiarity with Yahweh. So, you know, when we talk to these people on Facebook or however we communicate with them, I try to let them know that Yahweh is still there. They need to return to the worship of Yahweh. They have to make Yahweh their goal in life, because only through Yahweh will they have an opportunity of salvation. Those that are over the age of accountability, if they're 20 or above, they have to have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. They have to be baptized, or they will be lost. Now, their children, if they're under the age of accountability, when this thing all comes to an end, they'll go into the kingdom. But see, they have to make decisions. They have to know what direction they need to go in right now, because this thing is falling apart rapidly, and we don't have a lot of time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 1. Now we entreat you, brethren, touching the coming of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, and our gathering together to him, to the end that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter as from us, as that the day of Yahweh is just at hand. Let no man beguile you in any wise, for except the falling away comes first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, he that opposes and exalts himself against all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of Elohim, setting himself forth as Elohim. Don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know that which restrained, to the end that he may be revealed in his own season. For the mystery of lawlessness already works, only there is one that restrains now until he be taken out of the way, and then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the sovereign Yahshua shall consume with the breath of his mouth and annihilate by the manifestation of his coming, even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders and falsehood. And I told you, these tares have been planted along the wheat, along with the wheat, and it's going to be revealed. They're going to be scorched. They're going to be burnt. They're going to be destroyed at the coming of Yahshua and the judgment from on high, and with all deceit and unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. And brethren, I'm telling you, it's so important that we understand Yahweh is love. And if it wasn't for him, we would not have our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, the Lamb of Yahweh. It's because of his love that we have received salvation, that they might be saved. And for this cause, Yahweh sends them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of the people that I'm talking about knew the truth. They do know the truth. But the problem is, they love that lie. Satan has deceived them, and they love that lie. You know, they kind of insist on seeing people tormented instead of seeing people saved. And that's what this has to be about. It has to be about love, brother. It can't be about power. It can't be about, you know, like the Pharisees and the leaders that Yahshua condemned with this parable. And they knew that he was talking about them. That's why they wanted to kill him. And they're going to want to kill you too. because Yahshua said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. But the Spirit says expressly that in the latter time, in the latter days, some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, and we know a lot of them, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which Yahweh created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. Okay? For every creature approved of Yahweh is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified through the word of Yahweh in prayer. And some people are taking this passage to mean he's talking about pork. And that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about that at all. If you put brethren in mind of these things, if you put the brethren in mind of these things, you shall be a good minister of the Messiah Yahshua, nourishing in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which you have followed, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself to righteousness. For bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but righteousness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life which now is, and of that which is to come. And that's eternal life forever. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation. For to this end we labor and strive because we have our hope set on the living Elohim, who is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise your youth, but you be an example to them that believe in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, and purity. Until I come, give heed to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter. The ministers lay hands on the brethren after they're baptized, and they receive the gifts of the Spirit. And that gift is the Holy Spirit that he's talking about. Be diligent in these things, in verse 15. Give yourself completely to them, that your progress may be manifest to all. Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this you shall save both yourself and them that hear you. And brethren, we want all of you to be saved. This is the reason that we're urgently preaching in season and out of season. And right now we're in season because it's a holy season. And Yahweh wants you to be taught. He wants you to be fed with the word of his Spirit. Our closing passage is going to be Matthew chapter 25. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Sovereign, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or athirst and gave you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king shall answer and say to them, truly I say to you, since you did it to one of these my brethren, even these least, you did it to me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Sovereign, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then shall he answer them, saying, truly I say to you, since you did it not to one of these least, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment or judgment, but righteous, the righteous into eternal life. So it's not going to be a continual burning as they show you in Dante's Inferno, and they consider the word hell. The word hell means grave, it's Sheol. But we know that there's going to be a judgment, a resurrection. And those that are resurrected to judgment are going to end up in Gehenna, the lake of fire, and they're going to be destroyed, because that's where Satan is going to be destroyed. So brethren, each one of us has to avoid backsliding or falling back into, you know, the pagan worship, or even worshiping, even in the name of Yahweh, under every, on every high mountain and under every green tree. Because Yahweh is separating his people. He's looking for those who are sincere, who want to worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a difference, and that's why we have to go forth with the power and authority of Yahweh's Holy Spirit that he has given us to teach this to the nation, to teach this to the people around us. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him. Now, what I'll do at this point, because there may be questions, but we'll close. I'll ask Javier, if he doesn't mind, closing with a word of prayer, and then we'll, you know, still be open for questions. Okay.
Are we ready for the prayer?
Yeah.
Okay, please bow, and we shall pray together. Yahshua, thank you for your Sabbath day during this feast. It has been a peaceful, joyful, and loving feast. Yahshua, please help us to be strong in Yahweh, that we may go forth humbly, but as your Eliah, as your servant, living your truth and then proclaiming your truth in your mighty name, Yahshua, to the ends of the earth. Please do strengthen us all. Give us more love for each other, and especially for you and Yahshua, and be with us. Help us to endure all things to the end and overcome, and then to preach the kingdom way of life, Yahweh's truth, to the ends of the earth. Thank you for such a great feast. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the love of the brethren. Thank you for all thanks and blessings. All these things we ask humbly in Yahshua's name, and say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, what we can do, I guess, because the brethren in the south are an hour behind us, it should be just about sundown there as well. But what we can do, if we have some questions, we'll answer a few questions, and then we'll open the Sabbath together.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Yes. That sounds good.
Greg, I was looking for that scripture where it said that thankful that Yahweh did not give this to the wise and understanding. I'm looking for the scripture. It might have been in Matthew, or either it was in
I did use that.
Yeah.
Didn't I
use? You did use it. I'm looking for it to make sure I'm saying it the right way. But my question is, who are the wise and understanding that the truth or that the truth of the word is not revealed to?
Well, I believe he was speaking to the Pharisees and the leaders of Israel.
Oh, okay.
These people are raised on the oracles of Yahweh. They're raised from kids. They
right.
know the law of Yahweh.
Okay.
And what happens, you know, you don't want to take for granted, you know, that their knowledge, because they are very knowledgeable. But
right.
see, Isaiah, even the, I think they quoted from there about being blind, because these people, they talk about praise him with their lips, but their heart is far from him,
right.
from Yahweh,
right.
because they, I'm in Isaiah chapter 6, and where Isaiah receives he says that he wants to go. It said, I heard a voice of Yahweh saying in verse 8, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hearing you hear, but understand not, and seeing you see, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again and be healed. Then I said, Yahweh, how long? And he answered, until the cities be waste without inhabitants, and house without man, and land becomes, the earth becomes utterly waste. And Yahweh has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the middle of the land. And if there yet be a tenth in it, it also shall be turned to, be eaten up, and as the terebinth, and as the oak, whose stock remains. They, when they are felled, so the holy seed is the stock of it. And then we see Matthew 13. Yeah, Matthew 13:10, it's repeated, actually. It's quoted from Isaiah 6:9-10 there in Matthew 13, where he talked about, he spoke to them in parables, in Matthew 13:10, where he goes into that about and it says Matthew 13:10, and the disciples came and said to him, why speak to you them in parables? And he answered and said to them, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whoever has, to him shall be given, and him that shall have abundance. But whoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And to them it's fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, and then he repeats about the people's heart growing fat and the ears being dull of hearing,
mm-hmm.
That they should turn and he would heal them.
Okay.
But then he says in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see and saw them not, and to hear the things which you hear, and heard them not. Hear you, and then he explains the parable of the sower
mm-hmm.
to them.
And that goes from Matthew 11:25.
What's that?
25.
See, that was a scripture
yep.
she was talking about, Matthew 11:25.
That's it.
About hiding? Okay.
Where he's, yeah.
So where he hid the truth.
Uh-huh. He had things from the wise and understanding.
Yeah.
and did reveal them to babes. Yes, thank you. Is that Cheryl?
Yeah, you know, he also says he kept things from the world so that, you know, to protect us from the worldly people, the wise of the world, to protect us. I've read that, too. I don't know where it's at, but I'll find that.
All right.
Yes, that was the next scripture we were going to, but it was right across the page.
Yeah. Well, which was that? Did you find it, Greg, where he hid it from him to protect us so that we would know?
I had to go get my strong because it's so much easier when you have your helpers. Still there?
We're here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody got so quiet.
Somebody must be looking for. What y'all looking for? What are y'all looking for anyway?
Cheryl?
Huh?
Are we looking for that scripture?
Yeah, I'm looking for it. I'm trying to find that where he hid it from the wise to protect us. I mean, hid it from the world. Now my other phone's ringing.
All right. Well, while she's looking for that, are there any other questions?
Hello. Six, nine, and ten. Yeah, I'm trying to find that scripture where he hid it from the wise to protect us.
Is he hiding? What is he hiding? The truth? I mean,
it's the wisdom, you know, so that
okay. We'll
know what to do, but they, you know, we'll be one step ahead of them. They won't be able to bother us. Yeah. All right. Bye.
Yeah.
Two. Oh, let's see. I know I have that marked in here.
I got a couple of them like that. Let's see here.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
May I make a comment?
Sure.
If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it mentions that the wisdom is hidden. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, and on through, might have something to do with that, or is something similar. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and on through speaks of wisdom.
Yeah, which none of the rulers of this world have known.
Okay.
Right. Say. Is that what you're talking about, Cheryl?
That's one of them, and it's where he says, I tell you the truth. The one I'm looking for, he said he hid it from the world, but I tell you the truth.
Well, there's another one then.
That sounds like
Jeff. That's one of them.
There's one of them. Good. Hallelujah.
It's where it's written for you to know.
Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, 7. Yahweh gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for them that walk in integrity.
Proverbs 2 what?
6 and 7.
Okay. Let's see, I got another one here. Okay, let no man deceive you. Just a minute.
I'll tell you what we can do. We can all search for that one.
Yeah, we're going to search for it because it's in here.
Oh, okay.
You know let everybody get their Psalms and selected scriptures together so we can open the Sabbath together.
Yeah.
We're gonna, you know, the scriptures that we do. If you don't have a Psalm and selective scripture, Genesis 2:1-3, Deuteronomy 5:12-15, and Isaiah 58:13-14. So is everyone ready?
Are you going to first?
Genesis.
You need
page 130 in your Psalms and selected scripture.
Okay.
And if someone out there doesn't have one, you need to let us know so we can get you one.
I don't have one.
But see, you should have said something. I would have sent you one already. But we'll send you one.
Okay.
Okay. And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, Elohim finished his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because in it he rested from all his work which Elohim had created and made. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as Yahweh Elohim commanded you. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to Yahweh
Elohim.
And you shall not do any work. You or your son,
your
daughter, your manservant or your maidservant, or your ox or your ass, or any of your cattle, or the stranger that is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you.
And you
shall remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your Elohim brought you out from
there by a mighty hand
and by an outstretched arm.
Therefore,
Yahweh, your Elohim commanded you to keep
the Sabbath day.
If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of Yahweh honorable, and shall honor it, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shall you delight yourself in Yahweh, and I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. And I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. And we'll do Psalm 150. Nope. I'm sorry. Now, we still have some psalms to do from the great Hallel. I think they did 112 and 113. Can we do 114? Well, we have a few more services yet. We have enough to get through because we have services tomorrow at noon and tomorrow evening at 7:30, and then the high day services. So, yeah, we can. I think we already did 112, 113, and 114. Let's do 115. Not to us, O Yahweh, not to us, but to your name give glory, for your loving kindness and for your truth's sake. Why should the nations say, where is now their Elohim? But our Elohim is in the heavens.
He has done whatever he pleased.
He has done whatever he pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throats. They that make them shall be like to them. Yes, everyone that trusts in them. O Israel, trust in Yahweh. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in Yahweh. He is their help and their shield. You that fear Yahweh, trust in Yahweh. He is their help and their shield. Yahweh has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear Yahweh, both small and great. Yahweh increase you more and more, you and your children. Blessed are you of Yahweh, who made the heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of Yahweh, but the earth has been given to the children of men. The dead praise not Yahweh.
Neither
any to go down into silence. But we will bless Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore. Hallelujah. Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace again. Father Yahweh, we come before you on this, your holy Sabbath day, thanking and praising your name, Father, that you've given us the opportunity to rejoice before you and to come together during this Feast of Unleavened Bread. Continue to bless us, Father, with the great knowledge from your word. Open our hearts and minds to receive this implanted word, that we would have the strength of more of your Holy Spirit, Father, as it inspires us. Because we know when we study your word is life and is spirit. And, Father, we gain more of your life as we study more of your word. So strengthen us again, Father, as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Again, open our hearts. Cause each one of us, Father, to show that love that you've given us through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, to all of the people around us, to each and every one of our neighbors, that they would hear of the hope that is within us as they ask and give glory and praise your name, Father, when we witness to them your truth. Father, we know that our time is very short before Yahshua returns, and we ask that you would send more laborers to the harvest, Father, because the work is great and it's plenteous, and we need more laborers, Father, that are willing to put their hands to the wheel and push forward this work so that Yahshua will return and set up the kingdom. We love you and thank you for all that you've done for us, again, for our life, health, and strength, and for this Sabbath day. And it's in Yahshua's holy name we pray, asking all your favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.